Tonight's Seer, Parshas Bereshis, starting from the beginning. Bereshis bara Elokim es haShemayim v'Saretz. The first three words, Bereshis bara Elokim, the Sofei Tevas, the last letters of the first three words, Taf Aleph Mem, spell out, not in that order, the word Emes. To Meramis to us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, V'chosamo, his seal is Emes. Where I saw an interesting question, why is it Dafka Merumas in the last letters of the word? Right? If Hashem is Emes, and towards Emes, everything that should be at the beginning, the first letters. Why is it at the end, the last letters of the word? This is an interesting idea from the Or Chaim. He says, we know, kol tova, right? Everything is for the best. Whatever happens, when good things happen, we say, oh, of course. But when things that are not so pleasant happen, we tend to lose sight and think, oh, why is this happening? Well, the maisa, it's all for the good, kol tova. Famous maisa, Gemara brings the Maseches Nida, Nafalamad Aleph. There were two businessmen that were about to go on a ship to travel to go to a business deal. And one of them stepped on a thorn, hurt his toe, and he couldn't go on the ship. His friend went, traveled, and he was so upset. He was cursing out, why does that have to happen to me? It's not fair. My friend's going on this trip. He's going to make lots of money, and I'm stuck here with this thorn in my foot, back and forth. In the end, what happened? The ship sunk, went down, and he was turn things around. Now he was praising the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Oh, thank you for causing me to step on that thorn. In other words, what happens? In the end, you see how everything's for the best. So Mele, that's why the Emes is hinted to at the end, that we see the Emes, but very often it's only at the end when we see the whole picture. It's the Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim, famous Maisa when he was very young. He saw something happen in his town. It would disturb him greatly. What was that? It was a very poor widow, this woman, and she was renting an apartment from a house from some person, and she couldn't pay the rent. So the Balabais started threatening her, you have to pay your rent. No, but she couldn't. So came around winter time, and he said, listen, if you don't pay me the rent, I'm kicking you out of the house. But she didn't pay the rent, but she wouldn't leave. So he got upset. What did he do? He took the roof off the house in the middle of the winter. Needless to say, it was very uncomfortable for this woman. Chafetz Chaim saw this, and he says, it can't be that Hashem is going to let this go. This can't be. This poor widow and what this man did to her, this can't be. So he waited to see when Hashem's gonna, you know, take his divine retribution against her. He waited a week, a month, a year, nothing. Another year, this guy's fine, everything's fine. But Chafetz Chaim says it can't be. Something's gonna happen to this guy. Sure enough, 10 years later, the guy got bitten by a rabid dog, a Kelev Shota, and he died from it. Chafetz Chaim said, you see, sometimes it takes time. But in the end, Hashem makes what's right come to the forefront. Okay. Next. The Torah begins with the letter Beis, Bereshis Bara Elokim. The question is, one would think the beginning of the Torah first should begin with what? An Aleph. In fact, there's Midrashim that the Aleph in fact came and complained to Hashem, it's not fair, why are you starting Torah with the Beis, you start with the Aleph. It's a very interesting remnant to why the Torah starts with the Beis. Okay? Listen to this. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew Aleph Beis. How many days of creation? 7 days of creation. So therefore, we have about three letters for each day. 7 times 3 is 21. So now, let's make the cheshbon. If the Torah would have begun with an Aleph, let's say. So every day of creation, three letters. So, first day is first three letters. Aleph, start with the Aleph. So Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, 1, 2, and 3, if you add it up, equals 6. next day of creation would be the next three letters, Dalet Hei Vav. Dalet Hei Vav equal 4 plus 5 plus 6 equals 15. The gematria ktana of 15, meaning 5 and 1, is 6. Next letters. Okay, Zayin Ches Tes. Zayin Ches Tes is equals 24. 2 and 4 is 6. Yud Kaf Lamed. Yud Kaf Lamed equals 60. 6 and 0 is 60. 6 and 0 is 6. Next, Mem Nun Samech. Mem Nun Samech is 150. 1, 5, and 0 is 6. Next, Ayin Pei Tzadik. Ayin Pei Tzadik equals 240. 2, 4, and 0 is 6. And finally, Kuf Reishin is 600. 6, 0, 0 is 6. All, every three letters equal gematria ketana of 6. What's significant of 6? So we have Emes and Sheker. Sheker is Shin Kuf Reish, is also 600. 600 is 6. So 6 represents Sheker. Therefore, had the Torah started with a base, with an Aleph, excuse me, like we said, with an Aleph, it would come out to Sheker. Shem didn't want to start with Sheker. What did he want to start with? Emes. Okay, so therefore, what did he do? He started it with a base. Let's make the Cheshbon. Base, start with a base. Base Gimel Dalet. Base Gimel Dalet is 2, 3, and 4 is 9. Let's go on. Hey Vav Zayin. Hey Vav Zayin equals 5, 6, and 7 is 18. 8 and 1 is 9. Ches Tes Yud. Ches Tes Yud is 27. 2 and 7 is 9. Kaf Lamed Mem is 90. 9 and 0 is 9. Nun Samech Ayin is 180. 1, 8, and 0 is 9. Pei Tzadikuf is 270. 270 is 9. And finally, Reishin Taf is 900. 900 is 9. And MS is what? Aleph Mem Taf. Aleph Mem Taf is 441. 4, 4, and 1 is 9. So therefore, the Torah started with a base, so that each of the days equals gematria ketana of 9, which is the gematria ketana of Emes, as opposed to starting with an Aleph, which would be Sheker. Okay, the pasuk says, "Yikavu amayim mitachas hashemayim el makom echad v'seireh hayabasha v'hiche." Says that Hashem took the waters that were under the shemayim, He put it in one place. And the Vatera Ayabasha, and the dry land was seen, and so it was. So Rabbi Yonis and Ibishis asked, why the necessity of these words Vatera Ayabasha? Of course, if Hashem took the water and put it in one place, where He took the water from, it's going to be dry land. Why do you have to say Vatera Ayabasha? So he says, there's a remiss here to what Chazal say by Kriyas Yamsuf. The pasuk says over there, Vayashav Hayam Lifnos Poker Le'esano. And they darshan out, Le'esano is Lashon Tanai, that they went back, L'Tanai HaRishon, that Hashem made a Tanai with the waters when He created them, that they're going to have to part for Klal Yisrael from Yisrael when they get to Yam Suf. So the waters split, and then they went back to the where it was before the original, when the original Tanai was when Hashem created the waters. And he said, that's the remez. That's the extra words over here. But Yikavu Amayim Yitachat HaShemayim Al Kol Mechad. Hashem put the water in one place. And we asked, why the extra word? V'seireh HaYabasha. V'seireh HaYabasha is a hint of the future when where there's water is going to part and there's going to be dry land there, or Bnei Yisrael going to cross. But he asked a very interesting question. He says, why the necessity for a Tanai? Why does Hashem have to make a condition with the water that they're going to part for Bnei Yisrael and then they parted? Hashem didn't need a condition. When they came to Yom Suf, Hashem will part the waters and finish. Why would you have to make a Tanai for the waters, a condition that they're going to part? Lama. This is very nice. As the Gemara says in Tainis, that if a nace happens to a person, it's menachem ischuyosav. It takes away from his merits, his schuyos. If a nace happens. So therefore, if Hashem would have just parted the Yam Stam, that would have been a big miracle. Done for Klal Yisrael. So that would have taken away their schuyos. So what did Hashem do? He put it into nature. He made it Tanai when he created the waters that they're going to, from the days of creation, they're going to split for Klal Yisrael. Mela, that's already part of nature, not a nace, and therefore it wouldn't have to take away the skuyos of an Yisrael when they got to Yom Sif. Okay. The Gra, to bring down, he says that there's a klal that everything that haya hove v'yeh ad olam akol kalul b'torah ribereshis v'ad einei kol Yisrael. Everything that was, is, and will be in the history of the world is all in the Torah. And the chida brings a yalkut mishle that says im bikashta li tol eitza mina Torah have notel. If you want to take an eitza, you're not sure about to do something, yes, no, whatever, you want to take an eitza. So the Midrash says you should take an eitza from the Torah. Now, how do you take an eitza from the Torah? Everything's in the Torah. Take an eitza from the Torah. How do you do so? So see a couple of ways. One way is the Chidas, the Shevet Musar says. He says he has a Kabbalah from his Rabbanim that if you're not sure about something, should I do this, should I not do it? So what do? You open up a chumash or a nach, and wherever you open, you look at the top of the page, and there should be a hint over there of whether you should or shouldn't do the thing you're considering. That is one way of taking eitzah. The Sefer Keser Rosh brings in the name of the Gra, another way of taking an eitzah from the Torah, and that is, he says, a person should learn with tremendous amount of cheshek until he feels that he's mamish learning lishma, and when he feels he's gotten to that madriga of learning, then he should think about that question that he has, what to do, and then it'll pop into his mind the right answer. Similarly, there was a maisa with a yid in Branovitz, from a town where Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, was the Rav. So he had a kasher yid. He was a businessman, and he had a shaila in business, what to do, certain buy, sell, whatever. A big business deal came his way. He wasn't sure what to do. Yes, no, whatever. And he went to Rav Elchanan to ask an eitzah from. So Rav Elchanan heard a shaila, yes, no, whatever. What did he do? He picked out a Gemara, opened the Gemara, and starts learning. He learns, and then he closes up the Gemara and he tells the Yid what he thinks he should do. Fine, thanks to Rav Elchanan, and he leaves. So when the Talmidim were sitting there, and he asked Rav Elchanan, he says, yes, you need to, you pick up the Gemara, start learning, close the Gemara, well, what's going on? So he says, yeah, he says the Torah has a power to miyasher at the seichel. It straightens out a person's seichel. So therefore, I wanted to, before I tell him what I thought, I wanted to straighten my seichel out, make sure I have clarity. So therefore, that's why I sat and learned a little bit, got my seichel clear, and so I'd be able to think clearly and give him a proper eitzah. The pasuk says, the creation of the trees, that Hashem made the trees, and he commanded the trees that the trees should grow. Eitz pri, ose pri limino. And an eitz pri, a fruit tree that makes other makes fruit. So Rashi says something very interesting here. He says that eitz a pri. What's pshat eitz pri? That Hashem commanded the ground that it should bring forth a tree, that the tree, the bark, the wood of the tree tastes like the fruit. That you should be able to take a tree, bite into it, and it should taste like the fruit. That's Eitz Pri. But, says Rashi, the ground didn't listen. Didn't do Hashem Sivui. And it says in the next pasuk, what does it say? And it says Vatotze Ha'ar, etc. Ve'eitz Osepri. So it didn't listen, and instead it sent forth trees like we know them, that the bark, the wood, doesn't taste like the fruit. So Rashi says, therefore, Lefikach Heshnit Kalel Adam Alavono Nifkada Gamhi Alavona Venit Kalel. that the land was punished, that later on, when Adam Arishon was created, whatever, Ephraim the Eitz Hadas, and he was punished, so at that point, the land was also punished for what it did here. And by not giving forth trees that taste like the fruit, it was punished at the time of Adam Arishon, and says that the ground gave forth kotz v'dardar, thistles and thorns, whatever. So the ground was punished, was cursed, and for not listening to Hashem. That's the Rashi over here in the center. The question is asked, why did Hashem punish the ground only later? Why didn't he punish the land? Why didn't he punish the land when the land did its sin, right? On the third day of creation. He created he wanted the land to give forth trees that taste like the fruit, and it didn't. So Hashem should have punished it right there. Why did Hashem wait only until the time when Adam Arishon was punished? Answer given by the Yedei Moshe is a parish on the Midrash. And he answers the question with another question. He says, why did the land not listen to Hashem? Well, why? Hashem said, bring forth trees that taste like the fruit. No, didn't listen. Why? Why didn't it listen? So he claims that the land didn't do it b'chavana, really. It was a mistake. What was the mistake? That the lashon that Hashem said was eitz pri. Okay? Eitz pri yosef pri. Now, eitz pri is lashon singular. Meaning, the land thought that Hashem wanted that only one tree should be have that quality, where the tree tastes like the fruit. What is that tree? The esrog. As we know, in fact, an esrog tree, I used to have an esrog tree here, take the leaves, the bark, the branch, you break it, it almost tastes like the esrog. It's like an esrog. So the esrog tree, in fact, is a tree where the bark tastes like the fruit. Mele, the land heard that eitz pri. Oh, so it made the mistake of thinking that Shem wanted only one tree to be like that, that the tree should taste like the fruit, and gave forth the etrog tree, where only one and all the others not. That wasn't Hashem's kavanah. Hashem wanted all the trees to be like that. Okay. Now, Chazal also tell us that the Eitz Hadas, what fruit was the Eitz Hadas? Unlike the popular popular misconception, people think that the tree Eitz Hadas was an apple. Right? There's no Shita in Chazal that was an apple. It was a thing in your throat. People call it the Adam's apple, right? Because they think that. But that, there's no Shita that it was an apple. One Shita was an Esrog. So That was the tree from Eitz Hadas. Mele. Why, he says, did Adam Arishon eat from the Eitz Hadas? Very good. Why? Because that tree, the esrog tree, was different from all the other trees. That was the only tree that the bark tasted like the fruit. Because of the land, it brought only the esrog tree to be like that. The mele, that's what attracted Adam. You know, what attracts a person? Something's different. Everything's the same. You don't get attracted. Something's different, right? So mele, Adam's like, oh, wow, look at this tree. It's different than all the others. The bark tastes like the fruit. And that's what attracted him to eat, and therefore he ate it. Comes out that had the land made all the trees like that, all the trees would have been that way, that the bark tastes like the fruit. Adam and Rishon Pashtas wouldn't have eaten from the Eitz Hadas, because all the trees wouldn't be anything special. They'd all be like that. So what, in fact, caused Adam and Rishon to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the esrog? The land, which only made the esrog different than all other trees. Memele, he says, very good. That's why, in fact, the land was punished at the time when Adam and Rishon was punished for eating from the fruit. Because it was, in fact, the land which caused Adam and Rishon to eat from the fruit by making that tree different than all the other trees, and therefore attracting him to eat from it. This fits in very nice what we said also in last week's shiur. We'll go over the whole thing. But as we said, then brought the Midrash, Vayer, Vayvoker, Yom Echad, we mentioned the Midrash. As the Midrash says, that refers, the first day of creation was Yom Kippur. And then we said, if the first day of was Yom Kippur, the sixth day of creation was Tesvav Tishrei, right? Because Yud Tishrei is Yom Kippur. Sixth day of creation was Tesvav, which is Sukkot. And we said that Adam HaRishon was born on the sixth day, was created on the sixth day of creation, and that's when also he ate from the Eitz HaDaas. And we said, what did he eat? He ate from the Esrog. And that's why we take an Esrog on the Tesva of Tishrei. Because that's as a kapara for the Esrog that Adam HaRishon ate on Tesva of Tishrei. Which is also fits in very nice what we're saying here. Okay, next on the agenda. It says that Chava v'titen gam li'isha ima v'yocha, that Adam's wife gave sheets after eating from the fruit, gave it to Adam to eat. So Chazal, the Chazal, it says, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala lebem tanshal tzadikim kol shechein lo tzadikim atzman. We have a rule that Hashem, to a tzaddik, doesn't cause a mishap, an avera, right, to happen to a tzaddik. He makes sure that the tzaddik doesn't sin because of its tzidkas. And we see it even through the behemoths. The behemoth isn't a takal. We see that we've seen the tzaddikim, that their behemoths don't eat things that are not miser, etc. And the kosher came to the tzaddik himself. So the chida asked, if that's the case, why... how could it be that a takala happened to Adam HaRishon? Surely Adam HaRishon, before he sinned, was a tzaddik. Yet, takala happened, he ate from the Eitz HaDaas. But Hashem protects behemoths, kosher, and tzaddikim themselves from takalas. So how could Adam HaRishon have eaten from the fruit? So we have three answers tonight. One answer is from the Yafer Mara. He says that what does Hashem protect the person that's tzaddik from? From a shogeg. An accident, inadvertent, a mare, Hashem protects him. He doesn't inadvertently do something wrong. But if he, mazed, wantonly wants to do something wrong, says, okay, Hashem, so I'm not going to protect you. You want to do something wrong. You're causing yourself a loss. You know, you're doing it for yourself. So Mela, Adam HaRishon was not an accident. He didn't accidentally eat from it. He wanted to, and he ate it. So Mela, Hashem doesn't protect the tzaddik from things he wants to do wrong, only accidental things. Second answer is based on the Tosfos. Tosfos says that when does Hashem protect the tzaddik? That's things to do with food, and things that when the food in itself is intrinsically aser, but not food that the time causes the food to be aser. For example, let's say bread, right, on Pesach. So bread itself is not aser, it's just that Pesach comes along, so then it becomes, the time caused this food to be aser. So when is Hashem? Hashem protects the tzaddik only from things in food which is intrinsically aser. But food which is okay, it just depends on the time, and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, that Hashem doesn't protect. Mimele, the Shach on the Torah is an interesting thing. He says that had Adam HaRishon been able to hold himself back, and he would have not eaten from the Eitz HaDaas, which Hashem said he was not allowed to eat from, had he held out, we said it was on the sixth day, the day he was created, that's when he ate, and he held out to the end of the sixth day, till Shabbos, he would have been able, because the Kedushas of Shabbos, to be eat from that fruit. Hashem would have allowed to eat to it. So it comes out that the Eitz HaDaas, the fruit of the Eitz HaDaas, was a fruit that was only aser a matter of time. Right? It was aser then, but it would have become winter later on. Mimela, Hashem doesn't protect tzaddikim, we said, from food that is aser because of the time. And that's why Hashem didn't protect him from eating from the fruit. Finally, it's interesting, Ben Ishchai, he brings down from Sefer Asar Mamaris, he says that Adam HaRishon, when he ate from the fruit, his hands, arms and hands, had no part of the Avera. Since his hands didn't move, his arms didn't move, they remained straight, his hands didn't open, his hands had nothing to do with how would Lechura happen. I don't know, maybe Chava stuck it into his mouth, or whatever. He says, you notice, it doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk, Vayikach. It doesn't say he took. It says that she gave her husband and he ate. But it doesn't say he took from the fruit. So why is it? Because he didn't take it. He ate it, but his hands didn't move. Didn't take anything. So he says, the Daik, the real Lashon Chazal is, Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu mevi takala al yedei tzadikim. Meaning, Hashem doesn't cause a tzadik to use his hands to do an avera. But if he doesn't use his hands, then he could do an avera. So Mela, Adam Rishon didn't use his hand. He didn't use his hand. And Mela, he could do the Avera. Hashem only pressed that tzaddik, his al yedei tzaddik, that his hands shouldn't do any Averas. And that's in fact, Adam's hands didn't. And he said, interesting thing, he says, that's why the Birkas Kohanim is done with the hands. Right? They bless the Am with their hands. Why? Their arms, their hands. Because the hands are a source of bracha. Because the hands didn't sin by the Eitz Hadas, as we said. He didn't, Adam Rishon didn't use his hands. Mainly the hands, or since the hands didn't take part in the eating of the Eitz Hadas, that's why the Kohanim use their hands to bless the people. And he says, very nice, that also now explains what it says after that. After he ate, then Hashem, you know, put up these special keruvim or whatever that he shouldn't eat now from the Eitz HaChayim, now, after, right, the Tree of Life. So what's the lashon? V'ata pen tishlach yado v'lakach gam me'Eitz HaChayim v'chal v'chay l'olam. He said, oh, lest he now send forth his hand and eat from the Eitz HaChayim, etc., he's going to live. So what's these, he says, it's extra. What is a pen yishlach yado? So it's very good. Why? Because up until now, till he ate from the Eitz HaDaas, Adam Rishon was a tzaddik. Hashem protected him and he didn't use his hands, because Hashem doesn't let a tzaddik use his hands to do an Avera, and he did it. But now that he ate it from this Eitz HaDaas, now he wasn't a tzaddik anymore. Now he's not a tzaddik anymore, Hashem's not going to protect his hands anymore, because Hashem only protects tzaddikim. Since he already ate, he's not a tzaddik anymore, so now, pen tishlach yado. Now, Hashem says, I'm not going to stop his hands anymore. So he might send his hand and forth and eat from the Eitz HaChayim. Therefore, it says, pen tishlach yado. Okay. There's a Midrash Pliya on the same pasuk, v'titen gam lisha ima v'yochal. The Midrash says as follows: Nima chata Adam Harishon. Why did Adam Harishon sin? So the Midrash answers: Mipnei shara shtayim v'lo ra'a shalosh. Because Adam saw two and he didn't see three. What's that supposed to mean? So there's the famous Gra that says the following. The Midrash is referring to a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. What does the Mishnah say? Akavya ben Mahalal Omer, histakel bishlosha dvarim ve'i ata ba lidei aveira. If you look at three things, you won't come to sin. What are they? Damain basa, look at where you came from, ula'ana taholeich, and where you're going to, v'lifnei mi'ata atid litein din v'cheshbon, and who you're going to have to give a din v'cheshbon to. And the Mishnah continues, Mayin basa, where'd you come from? Mitipa srucha, from a putrid drop. Ulana taoleich, where you're going to, lamakom afaribim v'toleya, to the ground, to the grave. Ulifnei mi'ata atin litein din v'cheshbon, you're going to give a v'cheshbon to, ulifnei melech machayim lachim kadosh baruch hu. Fine. Akan, the Mishnah we're familiar with. Says the Gra, says again, Rabbi Akavya Meir Halal says, you look at these three, you won't come to sin. Adam Arishan couldn't look at these three things. Why? Because we said the first thing was, you have to look where you came from, a putrid drop. He didn't come from a putrid drop because Hashem created him with his own hands. In Mele, he couldn't look at these three things and not come to Avera. He can only look at two things. Lana taolech, lifnei liftem in v'cheshbon. In Mele, as the Midrash said, why did Adam Arishan sin? Bnei shara shtayim v'lo ra shalosh. He only saw two of those things, not three, and you have to look at all three in order not to sin. So I saw this here, an interesting question though. In Lechura, there was another thing he didn't see. What was that? It says also, La'an ataholeich, lemakom afar rima v'toleya. Meaning, when a person dies, a person goes into the grave and rots, and after that also will awaken a person, you know, not to sin. But at this point, before Adam sinned, there was no death in the world. So how could Adam think, oh, I'm going to go to the grave, and oh, and that didn't exist yet. So, Uchura doesn't fit according to the Gra, right? He saw two and not three. He only saw one and not three, right? He saw maybe a Tidlitin Gribacheshbun, but that's it. He shouldn't have seen that he's going to go to the Yafar Vitolea. So Sefer Baruch Shamar from Rav Epstein, the author of the Torah Tamima, he's a Sefer in Pirkei Avos called Baruch Shamar. And he raises this question, and he gives an answer, but he has the question on the answer. He gives a possible answer, and he says, okay, it's true, right? Adam Marishan, you know, there wasn't exerg any Misa yet, that's true. But Hashem told him about Misa. He said, if you're going to eat from this fruit, you're going to die. Okay, so he didn't, there wasn't yet, but he knew about Misa. Since he knew about Misa, so okay, so that's something that can awaken him. The Lana Tolech, you know, that is, if you eat from it, you can. He said, "Oh, I better not eat. Whenever I eat, I'm going to die. So okay, there wasn't Nigzar yet, but he didn't know about it, and therefore that's enough to awaken him. That's the second thing. So the Gra is good. However, not so good. Why? Because even though Hashem told him that if he eats from the fruit, he's going to die, but he doesn't say what's going to happen when he dies. Right? Maybe he's going to be like Eliyahu Navi, he's going to go to Shemayim. He didn't know that he's going to, which awakens where, wow, my body's going to rot, and that's going to, maybe his body wasn't going to rot. He didn't know that. He only knew that he was going to die, if he had true, but not that he's going to be Afa Rima Batolea. Therefore, he leaves it Sarachim. Okay. Next. The pasuk says lepetach chatas roveitz, and here we learn the inyan of the yetzer hara. So a couple of things, the yetzer hara. First of all, Chazal tells the yetzer hara is domel zvuf. It's likened to a fly. So the famous kliyakar, why a fly? Says because a fly cannot penetrate. Let's say you have an apple. The apple is shalem. Completely, the fly can't do anything to it. However, if there's a little tiny little hole in the apple, in the skin, the fly goes there and can devour the entire apple. So too, the HR is the same way. So if you're shalem and you don't let any opening for the HR to come in, you'll be fine. As soon as you give a little bit of an opening, boom, HR gets in, and then one thing leads to nothing, can totally destroy you. There's a mashal. Even from the Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef, he said there was once a stingy person, and he was looking for a shidduch. So he went to the shadchan, and the shadchan said, "Forget it, I can't find a shidduch for you." He says, "Why?" He said, "Because you don't own a house," which was the case since he was so stingy. He didn't want to, you know, rent a house, rent a place for his business. He just rented a place for his business. He used to sleep with his schora in his shop. He didn't want to spend money for a place to live. He says, "How can I set you up with a no woman's going to right mind is going to want to live in your store, you know?" So he says, "Okay. Give me a little time. I'll get a nice dira." She goes, "Fine." So he goes to the fancy part of town. He sees a beautiful house. He goes to the balabai. Says, "Tell me. I'd like to rent a little corner in your house over here. It's just a little corner. I just want to put up a nail, and that's all." He says, "What do you want to do that for?" He says, "It's not. I want to hang things up there." He says, "Okay, listen. For free, not going to be. If you would, you know, promise to pay me 1,000 shekels a month, I'll rent you the little corner. You can put your nail up, hang what you want, but we're going to have to do it officially, contract, the whole thing." Goes, "Okay, fine. It's a deal." Okay. So they write a contract, agree that he can put his nail up. Fine. Put his nail up on the wall, hangs his hat on the nail, and thank you, and he leaves. Okay, very nice. Well, you know, doesn't bother them. However, he comes back a little bit later, knocks on the door, says, "Yeah," he says, "I'd like to go to my nail, please." And he hangs up his bag. Fine. Takes his hat, hangs up his bag. Okay. Leaves. Comes back later that night, knock on the door. "Who can that be?" Open the door. Says, "Hi, I'd like to go to my nail." Okay. So he goes to the nail, he takes something out of his bag. Leaves. Comes back like midnight, banging on the door. Says, "Who can that be?" Open the door. Says, "Yes, I have something to put in my bag." Fine. Goes, puts something in his bag. Anyways, next morning, everybody's still sleeping, early morning, knock on the door. "Who can that be?" They open the door. "Hello." He's carrying this bag, heavy bag, you know. Says, "What is it?" He says, "I have something to put on my nail." Anyways, they're getting a little annoyed with this guy. But he takes, you know, but the deal's a deal, you know, and they signed the contract. Okay. So he takes his bag that was hanging on the nail, takes it off, and he hangs up this heavy bag on the nail. What was in this bag? A dead cat. Now, dead cats don't smell so great, okay? So, all of a sudden, what's that terrible odor in this house? They're looking around, they see it's coming from it, they look on this nail, in that little bag, they peek inside, it's a dead cat. I said, what's going on? So they run after the guy. And he says, what's going on? What? He says, you have a dead cat. He goes, that's right. Dead cat, get that out of here. What are we? Listen, contract. Here's my contract. See? 1,000 shekels I'm paying a month. I can use free use of my nail, and I can put what I want on it. So they go, oh, no. So they're standing outside, and they're thinking what to do. This, that. All of a sudden, the guy comes. He has another 2 dead carcasses in his hands. And he goes, okay, I'm again. I go, no! So they go crazy, and they run in the house. They take out all their belongings, and they leave the house. And goes back to the shadchan. He says, okay, I got myself a nice house. And here it is. You can now set me up. Anyways, so too with the Yetzer Hara. Right? He lets you put in a little nail. Yeah, okay, a little nail. You know, first puts a little nail. So that's a little nail. Starts with a little nail. Before you know, it's one thing until it cleans you out. One last idea for tonight. Speaking about the Yetzer Hara again. The Petach Chatas Rovetz. So there's a Chazal, says the following, I think it's Yerushalmi, says, Amar Rab Tanchum, Bar Mirian, Yesh Klavim Baromi, Shiodim Lishtadel Laparnasatam B'chokhma. Says, there's these dogs in Rome that know how to get themselves food, and they use tremendous chokhma. So the Midrash describes, what is it? So the dog, what is it? The dog goes to the market where and sits himself down next to the bakery, where they make bread, right? So, what does the dog do? He sits there, and then he pretends that he's sleeping. Closes his eyes, but he's sleeping. So the baker sees the dog sleeping, so he says, okay, he doesn't think he has to protect himself from the dog, because he's the dog sleeping. And then he himself is so tired, he closes his eyes, he takes a little rest. And then, when the dog sees that the baker is not looking, he's himself dozing off, all of a sudden the dog jumps up, and he flips over all the trays with all the bread, and then the baker wakes up and says, "Ah, what's going on?" Ripping the noise, and he sees the dog and all the breads all over the floor, and he quickly runs and grabs all the breads, you know. So the and then the dog grabs one of the loaves, and he runs off with it, and he gets himself a loaf. That's the Midrash. So, the question is asked. I think Shlomo Shvadron asks this. He says, "I don't understand." He says, What does this dog want? The dog wants a loaf of bread, right? So, but why does he have to go through all of this? Well, instead of knocking over all the trays, waking up the balabai, you know, the baker, and then grab, why isn't he just quietly, when he sees the baker sleeping, go over, grab a loaf, and leave? What would he end up with? A loaf. What does he end up with when he knocks over everything? A loaf. So why bother going through this whole thing? Just take what? So he says, Medayik, notice, the Chazal tell us that these are smart dogs. He said, just to pretend you're sleeping, grab a loaf, you don't have to be smart for that. Every gun of, you know, does things quietly. But the chokhmah here was that the dogs wanted to be able to do it again. Do it once, grab a loaf, okay, that's no big deal. But he wanted to be able to not just do this once, he wanted to, you know, parnasa, he wanted to be able to do it again. How does he do it? So therefore, he's very wise. He knocks over all the things. Now, what does that do? By knocking over all everything, and all the loaves are on the floor, and all over the place, and the baker wakes up, he says, oh my gosh! So he wants to save his loaf. So he quickly gathers the thing and chases away the dog. Get away! And he grabs all the thing. And in the end, he says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I was successful. I got all my... I only lost one loaf. Baruch Hashem, but I won. I won, right? The dog only got away with one loaf. I won. So, what meaning? He thinks he won. Now, had the dog just taken one loaf and not that, and then he would have just said, oh, that darn dog, I'm never going to let him again. He stole one of my loaves. But this way, he thinks that by knocking everything over and having the ball by gather in, gives him the feeling that he won. He said, ah, good. So he only got one loaf from me. I got everything back except for one. So that meaning. So now the next time the dog does the same trick, the balabais is going to fall for it again. Why? Because he thinks, I don't, stupid dog, last time I won. So I'm not scared. Sure enough, he does the same thing, knocks everything over, and again, chases him away, and says, again I won, he only got one loaf, etc. So he can keep doing it again and again, because he keeps having, he gets the feeling that he's victorious over the dog. So he says that that's the way the Yetzer Hara works. Meaning, the Yetzer Hara knows if he stop makes you do something wrong, so then you're going to feel bad. Oh, why did I do that? I'm never going to do it again. So Yetzer Hara says, that's not how you win. That's not chokhmah. He says, I want to get him to do something wrong, but I want him to do it again, etc. So what does he do? The Yetzer Hara wants to give the person the feeling that he won. So he says, for example, what does he do? He wants the person to sleep late. Okay? Misdavening. But then what would happen? Person sleeps late, wakes up, and then he's all upset, you know, says, oh, why did I do that? I missed davening. He's not going to do it again. So Yitzhak says, no, that's not called winning. So what does he do? He davka makes a person have a gewaltic shmona asrei. You know, he wakes up late, but then he davens and he goes, he feels, good. You know, you see, I had davening with so much kavana. I had such a great davening. You see, I won. Right? Okay, I slept late, but look what came out of it. A great gewaltic davening. So he gets the feeling that he won. So then I can sleep again late, you know, because I won last time. Right? Or, whenever the case is, the person will, or he'll be learning Torah, right? And he's learning Torah, and then what? He wants to stop him from learning. But he says, fine, just stop the guy from learning. He's going to be upset and never do it again. So what does he do? He stops him by learning, by having some chesed to do or something, you know? And therefore, he thinks, I stopped learning in the middle. Yeah, but I did this chesed, you know? And so he thinks, I won, you know? I stopped learning, but look what came out of it. I did a nice chesed or whatever. Or he wants a person not to interrupt his davening, right? So what does he do? She says, I'm going to stop him in the middle of davening, and then he's not going to, if he does schmooze in the middle of davening, he's not going to do it again. He's going to feel bad. So what I'll do? I'll have him learn Torah during job davening. So therefore, he'll not, you know, be davening and doing something wrong, but to make him feel good that he won, I'll make it that, what is he going to interrupt with? Learn Torah. So he'll think, good, I learned, you know. So that's the way the Yetzer Hara. So he hits a person, but then he covers it up and bandages it up so a person shouldn't feel so bad, so in order that he should do it again. That's Lepetach HaSroves. So when a person understands that the Yetzer Hara works, that's one step in the right direction to combat the Yetzer Hara. So we should all be Zoiche to destroy Yetzer Hara. Don't let him penetrate. We should remain Shalem in all our ways. And be zoiche to be a school tzedek v'mehira v'yameinu.